I'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of James. I'd like to read from the first chapter of the book of James. If someone were to ask you what is the purpose of the preaching of the gospel, or what is the purpose of the Bible, why has God given us the Word of God? There are a lot of different answers that you might give that would harmonize with the Word of God. There are also many answers that might be given that are not what God's Word teaches. There are a lot of different ideas today about why we have the Bible. The Word of God says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So that verse, 2 Timothy, tells us that the Word of God is given for the man of God to be perfected. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. The Word of God says that we have the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul says that he was writing to the churches so that they would know, the churches would know, how they ought to behave themselves in the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth, the church of the living God. So another purpose of the Bible is to help the church to know how to conduct itself, how to worship God, how to live each day. So there are a lot of different reasons. One of the writers, John, says that these things have I written unto you, that your joy may be full. So that's another reason that we have the Word of God, is so that the people of God can be filled with joy. The Word of God tells us a lot about God. The Word of God tells us as His people what God has done for us and what God is doing for us and what God shall do for us. The Word of God tells us as His people what we're to do in our service to Him. The Word of God is a great blessing to the people of God. I would remind you that Jesus, some 27 times in the New Testament, Jesus repeatedly says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So the Word of God is not to all mankind, but rather the Word of God is to the people of God. The Word of God is a spiritual message from a spiritual God to a born-again spiritual people. So it's to the people of God. I want to say one thing, and that is that the Word of God, and I'll say this after I read the first verse of Scripture that's on my heart. James 1, verse 21 is the main verse that's on my heart tonight. James chapter 1 and verse 21, where the Word of God says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls." Now, brethren, the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, this Word of God is able to save your souls. This Word of God has never saved anybody from eternal hell to the eternal heaven. That is not the purpose of the Bible, to save people eternally. It's the living Word, Jesus Christ, who has saved us from eternal hell to the eternal heaven. But the written Word, or the engrafted Word, when it's received by the people of God, when they receive it and live by it and follow it, it saves the people of God from a lot of hell while they live here in this world. The Word of God can save the people of God from a hell here on this earth to a heaven, the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. The Word of God can save the people of God from a lot of ignorance. And so it is that the Word of God is able to save our souls. And the admonition here is, receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. Sometimes the people of God refuse to receive the Word of God. They refuse to hear it. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that sometimes the people of God stop up their ears and refuse to hear the Word of God. There are many disciples of Jesus that heard the Word of God for a while, and they followed Jesus for a long time, But then they got to a point that they would not hear the sayings of Christ. They said that his sayings were too hard, and they turned back and walked no more with him. So they stopped receiving the Word of God. They stopped hearing the Word of God. They refused to continue to hear the Word of God. And that often happens with God's people, where they begin to hear the Word of God, and they begin to rejoice in the Word of God, and they follow the Word of God for a while, but after a period of time, they decide that it's just not worth all that it's going to require of them to continue to be a Christian. So they turn back, and they walk no more with God. Now, their soul can be lost. Does everybody understand that? The soul of God's children can be lost to the joys and the blessings of the house of God and fellowship with God and the kingdom of God. The prodigal son, who had been in his father's house, had heard his father and had obeyed his father for a long time, that prodigal son finally reached a point where he didn't want to be a part of his father's house. He wanted to go out and waste his goods in riotous living. And so he asked his father to give him his portion. And he went out and he did that he wanted to do. He followed the desires of the flesh. He stopped listening to his father. What was the result of that son that left his father's house? When he finally came back, I want you to remember, not going through all the hell that he experienced, but I want you to know that when he finally came back, the father said, "This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And so it is, there are many of the people of God, I believe today, that are lost and they're dead to the joys and the blessings of the kingdom of heaven and the church. And they are in that condition because they have stopped receiving the Word of God with meekness. You hear the text? The text says that we ought to receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. You remember in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 that the Word of God says that the saints at Berea were more noble than those at Thessalonica because they, what's the next word there? They received the Word with all readiness of mind. You follow the parallel here in James 1 and that in Acts 17. They received the Word with all readiness of mind. It's important that we learn how to receive the Word of God. It's important that when we come to the house of God or when we're reading the Word of God in our homes, it's important that we receive the Word of God. It's important that we hear the Word of God and receive the Word of God and believe the Word of God and rejoice in the Word of God and know that God has given us His Word for our good and for His honor and glory. The Word of God is for your good. It's for my good. It's to the glory of God when we follow the Word, but it's always for our good when we do what the Word of God says. So He says, receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. Can you save yourself by following the Word of God? Can you save yourself by following the Word of God? Yes. And again, if you think you're talking about eternal salvation, you're missing completely what the Word of God teaches. You don't save yourself eternally, and you don't save anybody else eternally. There are many people today who think they're out there saving souls from eternal hell to eternal heaven. That's the work of Jesus Christ and Him alone. I have never saved anybody from eternal hell to eternal heaven, nor has any other man saved anybody from eternal hell to eternal heaven. But we can save our brothers and sisters in Christ from the error of their way. And in doing that, we save a soul from death. That's taught in the last chapter of the book of James. After he told us in James 1, what did he say that we're to do? You receive the Word of God with all meekness. Receive the engrafted Word with meekness. Receive the Word of God with meekness, which is able to save whose soul? Your soul. Now, when you turn to the end of the book of James, you find not only that when you receive the Word of God, it'll save your soul, but you find that we as the people of God have a duty and responsibility to save the souls of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Children of God, who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, sometimes they go contrary to what God's word and God's will and God's way is. And when they begin to go that way, it is the responsibility of every child of God that sees someone going astray. It is our responsibility to try to convert them from the error of their way. There's a difference in converting someone and causing somebody to be born again. I've never caused anybody to be born again. That's the work that God has reserved unto Himself. The new birth is something that God, by His Spirit, God does to His people. But the people of God can convert our brothers and sisters from the error of their way. The word convert means to change, to turn them around, to get them to go in a different direction. Whenever you convert someone, you're doing converting and they are repenting. Do you see that? That's what repentance is. That's when the individual is turning and you can convert someone. And then when they repent, the Word of God says that you have saved their soul. Look at James 5 now, verses 19 and 20. The Scripture says, brethren, is he talking about and is he talking to children of God? Indeed he is. He says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth. Well, now, when you err from the truth, have you ever erred from the truth and you came to the house of God or you're reading the Word of God in your home and God began to speak to your heart and let you know, I'm on the wrong track. I'm erring. I'm getting away from what God's Word says is the right way for me to walk. Now, if I receive the Word with meekness, it'll save my soul. So it is the admonition in James 1:21 is received with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. But then he says in James 5, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So, I can save my soul if I receive the word with meekness, but I can also, by the grace of God and with the help of God, when I see a child of God going astray, I'm to go to them and to try to work with them to convert them and to save their soul from what? Save their soul from death. What does the word death mean? The word death means separation. And every child of God, sometimes we're very close to God, but we can get separated from fellowship with God. My relationship and your relationship to God is a father-child relationship. And nothing can change your relationship to God. It's a permanent relationship. God says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Your relationship is permanent, but your fellowship with God is very fragile. And so it is that the people of God who have been born of the Spirit of God, though our relationship to God can never change, and God says that He has loved us with an everlasting love, and Paul says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and we are preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord, and we're kept by the power of God, and we're in the hand of Jesus, and we're in the hand of the Father, and we're secure eternally, yet our fellowship depends on our obedience to the Word of God. One of the functions of the church, we have a lot of different functions, but one of the functions of the church is that when any, that we state in our church covenant, we state that we will watch over one another for good. And when any will err from the faith or err from the truth, that we will labor with that individual to try to bring him back into the right way. Do you know the only thing that you can ever use to try to convert someone back to the truth is to use the truth or the Word of God. That's what you have to use. You can use human reasoning. You can talk all you want to. But listen, brethren, if they won't receive the Word of God, they won't receive anything else that you try to give to them. You can appeal to them in all other kinds of ways, but if they won't receive the Word of God, then nothing else is going to be of any lasting good in their life. And so what happens to the people of God that harden their hearts and will not hear the Word of God and continue to go in the wrong way? Their soul dies. Their soul dies. They are cast into a hell while they live here in this world. Look in the book of James. I want you to think about this just a moment. I rejoiced in this truth during this past week. As I thought about when James, by inspiration of God, when James wrote to the elect family of God and he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save yourselves. And then he says to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We've got to be doers of God's word. But then do you know what James does in the writing of the book of James? He enumerates one thing after another. He says, now here's something you need to do. Here's something you need to do. And he just goes through and enumerates. You know, sometimes I remember when I was a young adult and I went to my pastor and I said, I know that you keep preaching that we need to do what God's word says, but I just don't know what it is I need to do. Now that may seem foolish, but I kept hearing that we needed to do something and we needed to follow the word of God and we needed to obey God's word. I said, please help me. I need to know some specific things that God would have me to do. Well, that's what the book of James does. It gets very simple, very plain. It says, here's what you do. You want to have your soul saved? You want to save your soul? You want to save the soul of your brothers and sisters in Christ? He goes through and he just goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and he enumerates in the book of James step by step things that we're to do to save our soul and to save the souls of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at what he says. After he has said that to receive with meekness the engrafted word in verse 21, which is able to save your souls, and then he says in 22 through 25, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, and if you're a doer of the word, that you will be blessed in your deed, and don't be a forgetful hearer of the word. Then he says in verse 26, we'll come down to James 1, verse 26. Now, here's something he tells you to do to save your soul. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, you may go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, as all of you do. But if you don't bridle your tongue, what does the Word of God say about your religion? Vain. It's useless. All the religion that we might have, if we don't bridle our tongues, our religion is vain. And of all the things that James speaks about, and he concentrates so much on saving our souls and saving others, did you know that of all the different things he talks about 8 or 10 different things in the book of James, there's one thing he concentrates on more than anything else, and that's the tongue. He emphasizes so much the importance of the tongue. He says, just a little member, not a big member of your body, it's one of the smallest members of the body, and it's the hardest member of the body to control. And yet he says now, and listen now, if you want to save your soul, you better receive this part of the Word of God. If you want to save your soul, you better listen to what God says about the tongue, and you better be careful about how you use your tongue. We all need to improve on what we do and what we say, don't we? We need to pray, God help me to control my tongue better. Because our religion is in vain if we don't control our tongue. Somebody name, let's just talk about controlling our tongue just a minute before we go on to the others. Name some of the things. There are about 10 different things that controlling your tongue can apply to. Name some things that controlling your tongue applies to. Cursing, profanity. I think that's probably the first thing that most everybody thinks about. Better not cuss. And that's something certainly, rather than it brings shame and reproach on the cause of Christ. Any of you that use profanity out there in the world, you're dragging down the name of Jesus Christ. Don't use profanity, ever. In the fifth grade, I said a slang word one time in the fifth grade, and I was sent to the principal's office, and the principal, Mr. Evans, got me to bend over and hold my ankles, and he whipped me real good, and then he gave me a long talking to. And he said, Billy, he said, people that use slang language, they don't have enough intelligence to know how to express themselves any other way. And he said, you're smart enough to know how to talk without ever using a slang word. He said, you're not a dumb kid. And don't you ever use a slang word. It had a profound effect on me. It scared me. My parents still found out, and I still got a whipping when I got home, but it frightened me to hear that principal sit there and talk to me. And he talked me out of the Word of God. And I feared God when I was in that principal's office. He'd already whipped me. The whipping was over. But I was fearing God before I left his office that day. I realized that I had brought shame and reproach on the cause of Christ. I wept and I cried because I had said a slang word. He said, that hurts your mama, that hurts your daddy, and that hurts your God for you to do such a thing as that. He said, you have grieved the Holy Spirit by using a word like you did today. If you don't control your tongue, your religion's what? Vain. Can you argue with that? Anybody want to argue with it? Can you argue with it? You can argue with it all you want to. Bottom line is, if you don't receive that word with meekness, your soul's going to be lost. What's another way besides cursing? What's another way that we use our tongue? Say it again.
Lying.
Lying is a common problem, and it will, if you don't listen to what God says, lying will lead to you being destroyed in your life. If you'll listen to the Word of God and speak the truth, it'll save your soul. If you'll stop lying, it'll save your soul. What's another way we can use a tongue? Sister Cindy, you had something you were saying.
Embarrassing people.
I embarrassed Sister Lindsay this morning. I said something and embarrassed her, and I used my tongue in a wrong way. I apologized to her, but you don't ever get over. I mean, you can get over, but once you've said something and embarrassed someone, it's hard to get over that. What's another way that you can use your tongue in a wrong way? Gossip. Gossip is a common problem we're just talking about the sinners down the road. Everybody understands that, right? No, we're not talking about sinners down the road. We're talking about people like us. We're talking about us. Do you think there's any man here? Do you think there's any woman here? Do you think there's any child here that has never or does not offend in any way in the tongue? Is there anybody here that thinks you don't ever offend in the tongue? Well, if you do, you don't understand what the Word of God says, because the Word of God makes it plain and clear that we don't control our tongue. Even at best, we don't control our tongue. But we can try and we can work at it and we can do better. All right, now after he talks about the tongue, now, I hope all of you will receive that in the spirit of meekness and work on your speech in every area. Just go home and study all about the tongue and how the tongue can be used in a wrong way. After he says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. He says in verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to what? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Have you ever been faithful about visiting and then just backed off on visiting? Is anybody here that's ever been pretty faithful about visiting and then just kind of slacked off on visiting? Have you ever been faithful about anything and slacked off on it? All of us sometimes. You know why God gives us His Word? You know why we need to go to church every day? Because we need to be reminded every day. Here's another way we need to get back to what God's Word teaches. You want to save your soul? You better visit. You can come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. You can come up with all of the kinds of excuses about why you don't visit. If you don't visit, the Word of God says that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Did you know people look for excuses about why they don't want to go visit? Did you know that? Do you know, it's really sad when you see families that run away from going to the nursing home. That's really sad. It's sad whenever people could take their children to the nursing home and share those precious gifts that they have. They love Brother David and Sister Jane, but did you know who they'd rather see than Brother David and Sister Jane or me or any other adult in this building? You know who they'd love to see? Any one of these children. Any one of them. They love children. That excites them, that thrills their soul, that does more for them than anything in the world. God's given you those children. And I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, stop being slothful about visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. We have it so easy today. You know, all we have to do is get in an air-conditioned vehicle They used to ride horse and buggies to go visiting. We get in an air-conditioned vehicle, and we go to one place, and God has them all, or the devil, somebody, has them all corralled up together. They're all in one big building right there. That's as easy as you can get it, isn't it? And yet we're less faithful about visiting today than what we once were. Now, you can get mad if you want to, but what's the point of this? Receive what? Receive with meekness the what? The engrafted word that's able to what? Save your souls. I hope that you'll get saved tonight. I hope that you'll get saved tonight. I hope I get saved tonight. I hope I get saved. I hope that everybody in this building gets saved tonight by the word of God. I hope that when you leave here tonight, that I hope that every one of you are going to find something, in fact, several things, that you realize I need to do better in this area. I don't want to die. I don't want to perish. I don't want to become a castaway. So I'm going to do better in this area and in this area and this area. And then by the grace of God, you begin tonight, not tomorrow, but you begin to try to work to do better, to have pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father. Chapter 2, he says, toward the middle of the chapter and coming down to verse 15, James chapter 2, he says, James 2 verse 15, he says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, that's people that are in need. I'm talking about children of God in need. I'm talking about people that deserve helping. You understand? And let me tell you something. I think anybody that works for minimum wage, they deserve help. Did you hear what I said? Anybody in America today that works for minimum wage, not everybody, most everybody that I know that works for minimum wage, they deserve your help. And I think everybody here could help them some. Why does anybody here think I say that those that work for minimum wage, they deserve your helping hand? They're willing to work. Number one, they're willing to work. There's a lot of deadbeats out there that aren't willing to work, that you're helping to pay for them. And the Bible says those that will not work, they should not eat. But there are people out there that are willing to work, and they're working, and they're working hard, and they're working 40 and 50 hours a week at minimum wage. There are people that are out there working 2 and 3 jobs. Brother David and I both, when we came along, that's the way most men did it, was we worked 2 jobs all the way through until our children were on a pretty good size. We worked 2 jobs. Why? Because that's what it took. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and any one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye filled and warmed, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is, what's the word? Dead, being alone. What are we talking about? We're talking about saving your soul from what? From death. Faith without works is dead. If you're not going to do what God's Word tells you to do, and if you're not going to help people, please, I would ask everybody here, if you have the ability to help somebody, and you do. If you have the ability to help somebody that's in need, and you don't help them, please don't say, I'll be praying for you. Please don't do that. All you're doing is hiding behind something that really doesn't mean anything at all. If you don't give them something that will help them financially, you're probably not going to pray for them anyway. You're just lying about it. If you're able to help them, what does James say do? Give them something. Do something for them. Don't speak kind words to them, but do something for them. All the way through the book of James, and I'm not going to go into all of them. I do want to mention one more in James chapter 4. He says in James chapter 4, verse 13, James 4, verse 13, and you can argue with this and say we don't need to say it. But listen, you better say, the Lord willing, if the Lord will, we'll live and do this or that. James chapter 4, starting in verse 13, the Word of God says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Is that something the engrafted word has told you to do? Is that something that in the engrafted word is that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If you don't say the Lord willing, if you don't say if we live and the Lord is willing, you haven't received the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. James chapter 5 talks about patience, and of course the last thing is, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know which he which converted the sinner shall save a soul from death. Can you save a soul from death? How many of you are saving souls? Everybody understand what I'm saying? You can argue about all these people that are out there trying to save souls from eternal hell to eternal heaven, about they're all mistaken. That's fine, well and good. But the question I ask you tonight is, how many souls have you saved? The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. If you're not saving souls, you're the opposite of wise. He that winneth souls is wise. We ought to be trying to save souls. Do you know what God's given us to save souls with? The Word of God. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls, and it's able to save the souls of other children of God if they will receive the Word of God with meekness. May God help us to use the Word of God in the right way to save souls, our own and the souls of others, is my prayer for Christ's sake.